When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I hope that you guys are having a wonderful Hanukkah. I hope that you guys are having an amazing Kwanzaa, and I hope you guys had amazing Christmas. How was your Christmas? Listen, I have to say the best part of my Christmas was everybody DMing me, tweeting me photos of people opening up their Purple Pants Podcast hoodies, their wine glasses, the Zaddy calendars. I was like, look at God. I had a really great Christmas, had some amazing time with my families, got to spend it with Barb and Sunshine. Barb thinks she funny since she listening to the Purple Pants Podcast, got me a bed in a bag for Christmas. It was great. Some less sheets I have to do, okay? Let me tell you about me wetting the whistle this week. So right before I headed to my mom's house for Christmas, I got a package delivered to my door. Now, that was a big old package. I said, now who delivered me a package? So I opened it up and it was this assorted chocolate and some Chardonnay wine that I'm wetting my whistle to in the Purple Pants Podcast. Let me wet my whistle glass. Hold on. Oh, I feel so classy drinking a nice little bottle of Chardonnay. Shout out to Robert Sestorino for blessing me with an amazing gift. Thank you, Robert. I feel fancy. It's not a pay week, and you know how to spend all my money on them Christmas gifts. So, yes, thank you, Robert, for the wine and chocolate. It is amazing. So I hope y'all guys had an amazing holiday. It's just so weird. It just does not. I've, like, seen so many people and talked to so many of my friends, and they, like, it just don't seem like the holidays. I'm like, I know it. Like, who got this time on warp? Because I feel like it was just December 2 weeks ago, and now here we are getting ready to enter into 2020. I cannot believe this is my last podcast of the decade. I mean, I just started this year, but still my last podcast of the decade. Like, oh, chile. It just seems so surreal to me. But listen, That's the one thing that is for certain is time, okay? And that is the most precious gift that we can have is time. So make sure during this holiday season that you guys spend some time with your loved ones, you know, reach out to some people that you haven't talked to, you know, just make sure you show us some love, because that's the one thing we can't return or get back is time. So that is so important for us to remember. Now, this week on the Purple Pants Podcast, I'm changing the format up just a tad bit because I got a juicy menu for y'all. So let me run down the menu for you. Oh, but wait. Before we run down the menu, if this is your first time listening, welcome to the Purple Pants Posse, okay? And don't forget, guys, to subscribe to this podcast. If you could rate this podcast, if you could write a review, come on, tweet me. Let me know you're listening to the podcast. I need all the love, okay? Let's end this decade off right. Now, the only thing about this decade that I don't really understand is how am I the same age that I started the decade in when I'm ending it? I don't know. You know, I'm not that good at math, but listen, just know my age is the same. Don't at me, okay? So let's get into the menu. We got our church announcements, and that is the start of the podcast. And then the meat and potatoes of this week's episode is going to be, I have an exclusive interview with Missy Bird from Islands of the Idols season 39. So, me and Missy talk about some juicy, juicy stuff. We break down all the drama of the season. We talk about our friendship, talk about her gameplay, talk about what she could have, would have, should have done. So, make sure you guys check that out. Then you know we got the Purple Pants Picks. I've got Advice with Bryce, and I got the Freak of the Week, okay. Now, hold on. Let me wet the whistle to this show today from Robert. Just make me feel so expensive. So, my first church announcement is, you know, I've been talking about this decade is ending. So, what I just want to put on the church announcement is, leave it in the 2010s, okay. We're leaving that drama in the 2010s. We leaving them unhealthy relationships in the 2010s. We leaving toxic people. Listen, and this one is for me. I got some family members in my life that are just toxic. And it's always a poor me story. And you know, there's no reason or rhyme. And what I've learned, this decade is no matter what, you can love somebody, but you can love them from a distance. You can wish them all the well wishes. I want you well. I want you healthy. I want you successful. But where I don't want you is in my personal space. And it took me a long time to come to that because I just always felt like, oh, this is family. We need to be together. But listen, if you got that negative, toxic family member, you guys do not need an excuse. You don't need to feel bad. Keep them over there. We leaving that in the 2010s. Our unhealthy eating habits. I might bring this one into the new decade with me, but listen, I'm trying. Okay, our self-esteem, our low self-esteem, we is leaving that in the old decade, okay? We leaving all of that negativity, all of that unhealthiness, all of them bad relationships, all of them, you know, 1 a.m, you up text messages. We ain't responding to them, okay? Listen, we are being positive. We are moving forward. We got to enter this decade with our right hand on our shoulders, okay? It ain't none of that. You know, our healthier lifestyles, what we bringing in to this decade, our self-love we bringing in, our compassion for others we bringing in. Come on, we want all of that positive energy. And this, I really believe that you have to manifest it. If you say, oh, I'm going to have another bad year, you're going to have another year. But if you claim that this year, this decade is ours, then that's what it's going to be. It's going to be some hard work to get there, but guess what? We getting there. So listen, I want you to, when you listen to this podcast, think of all of the negative energy, all of the negative things that you leaving in this decade, okay? Because we marching. We marching. Come on, march with me. Marching. I don't hear you marching. Marching. We marching into this decade with our head held high, Purple Pants Posse, because this is our year, our decade. Okay, I just want to make sure I put that on the Purple Pants Church announcements because we not playing. Next on the church announcements, I just want to let y'all know, Purple Pants Posse, if you in the Maryland, Virginia, D.C., the DMV area, New Year's Eve, myself and I, Wendell and Cammy from Big Brother, we are going to be at the Fillmore, Silver Springs, Maryland at the You and Me R&B party for New Year's Eve. Hey! Oh! Oh, so listen, you in the DMV area, you want to come out and have a good time, you like classic and new R&B, You and Me R&B is a dance party, all R&B music, all classics, all two steps. Come on, come in, bring the new year with us. You can click on my Instagram or Wendell's Instagram, or you can go to www.umerb, that's umerb.com for your tickets. We're going to be at the Fillmore Silver Springs New Year's Eve. Cutting it up. We bringing in a decade right. Now, I still got to get my outfit. Oh, Chad, I don't know what I'm going to wear, but you know I got to look spectacular, okay? Because that's how I'm marching into this decade. This is going to be my spectacular decade. I'm claiming it right now with y'all. So yes, now let's get into this menu. I am so excited. We have a Purple Pants Podcast exclusive interview. Okay, baby. I am so excited to have my friend, my girl, Missy Bird from season Idols of the Island. Welcome to the podcast for her first, okay? Her first exclusive podcast from the island. Welcome to the podcast, Missy.
Oh, this is awesome. I'm so proud, so honored. Wow. Hi, guys. What's up? It's Missy.
Yes. Oh, my God. So, first of all, you just got off of finals week. We just celebrated Christmas. How was your holiday?
Come on. Come with it. The holidays were great. After the finale week, I feel like all I needed was sleep and some sweet potato pie, and I got both. So, I'm good. I'm blessed.
Yes. Come on, sweet potato pie. So, first of all, I just have a little spoiler alert. So, Missy is my friend. I knew Missy shortly before she left for the island. You know, she came to Philly and she kicked it with me and Wendell. So I was so excited to know that, like, my girl was going out there to play Survivor. And, you know, I was rooting for her, praying for her. And so I'm just so excited that, like, you know, you went out there and you did your thing.
Yo, I feel like meeting y'all beforehand, I was hype. I was like, this is the Bryce. This is the Bryce Isaiah. I'm friends with you now. I'm in Philly. I met you, like, I was hype. And then to make fire with Wendell, it changed the way that I wanted to go into the game. The one thing that Bryce told me to do, y'all, and listen to me. This is more important than the advice that, yes, Wendell's great. I love Wendell. Wendell's dope. Bryce said, listen, light them confessionals up. So you know what I did? Okay. I lit the confessionals up. Come on. Yes, you have to. Yes, you gotta.
Yes, we need them spicy Missy out there. So what I want to ask you first, girl, because, you know, I got, like, what was your casting process to getting on Survivor like? What was that like for you?
Casting for me. Okay, yeah. So casting for me, I feel like I got super lucky to start, just because I applied October 8th. I submitted a video. Everything in my life seemed to be going really good. And I was like, you know what? I feel lucky. So basically, let me go play a lottery ticket. I called up a friend. And I was like, hey, come to my house. Can you help me film my video? I had a quick idea. I shot it October 7th, uploaded October 8th. And then my handler from Survivor from CBS called me October 9th. It was insane. Just wild. Yeah, first time, one and done.
Okay, that's kind of sort of sound like my story. I literally got me a bottle of wine, sent the video in February, like the day before Valentine's Day, and like a week later they were calling me back saying, like, what's popping? So that's exciting. So did you go to finals week, or do you feel like they had the cast already together and they were so you went to finals week?
I did. Hold on, let me get my notes. I'll read you off some exclusives about the people that was with me. So I had all the tea, hot tea. This is the hot take. This is my first podcast. Just like the confessionals, we gotta light it up. Yes. We gotta light it up. Okay. So at finals week, we don't get most of our cast. We just get maybe five or so. So I didn't have Elaine, didn't have Aaron, you know, my peoples. I had Lauren, who I call Strawberry Blonde, because you gotta give everybody a code name. You're not allowed to talk to them, right? So I see Lauren, I'm like, wow, brown skin girl. You know, I was like, all right, yeah. I was like, all right, that's my one. That's the first one. We're working together. I gave her a look, done. That's Strawberry Blonde because of those blonde braids she has. And then I look over again, you got frizzy hair Tori Kelly. That is no one other than Elizabeth Beasley. Like, that's my girl. That's my, like, I love her. That's my lover. Who else did I have? I feel like she'll get mad at me for saying this. I had Short and Loud Girl. And that was nobody other than Chelsea Walker. We're not allowed to talk at casting. And I just remember writing in my journal, I was like, wow, I want to work with her because she doesn't mind talking. Like, these people are telling us to shut up and sit here. And she doesn't care. She's talking short and loud. Who else did I have? I feel like those were the big ones. Oh, Granddaddy Dean. So when I first saw Dean, I didn't see DK chilling. I didn't see DK villain. I didn't see Deanie Baby's hottie. I saw like Tony Hawk. Like, I saw a skater probably from L.A., short shorts. It was very different to see them and not know their names. So yeah, very interesting casting week to have them out there with me.
Wow. Come on. Like, wow. You were like at finals with all of those great people. Now, another question, you know, Survivor is all about like casting like archetypes, and like, you know, they love in casting to cast people that are like similar to other players. Like, who do you think your archetype of a player was or is, or do you feel like you broke the mold?
Ooh, dang, these questions right here. Okay. Going into casting, I told them, okay, so to make sure I understand the question, the same way someone like Gabby would go into casting and they may say, you're similar to Hannah, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So I went into casting myself as a fan. I was thinking, I want to be athletic. So I want to bring a little bit of that, like the windowness in there. I want to do like the aggressive, the Michaela, the dominating challenge type things. But as far as strategy wise, I wasn't sure. I told them Kim, just because I liked the way Kim played. I liked how she controlled everything, and she was blatantly, obviously controlling everything. And they were just so hypnotized that they let her do it and she took the game. So I wanted the more dominant personalities. And then while I was in the game, watching it back, it's really weird. You go out there and we play, right? But we watch it back as a fan. And so getting to watch the season back, I don't think that there is, I'm sure other people would disagree, I love the notes, but I don't think there is another player similar to my edit, to my character. I would say like I was blunt like Sandra, but I was also athletic in a way that Sandra wasn't, you know? And then I was aggressive. Yeah, super aggressive in challenges and whatnot, but maybe a little bit more strategic than say like a Michaela. So I don't know.
I would definitely have to agree with that. Also, what I thought was interesting about watching you play, which I loved, I don't know how it translated to the fans per se, was I love that you were an African-American female, not scared to like let your roar, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, a lot of the times when African-American females play, or just African-American females in general, like, you know, if you're too aggressive, then, oh, you're a mad black woman. Like, you know what I mean? And I hate that stereotype. And so I like someone like you that came in and said, listen, this my game. I ain't come out here. Or this is at least what I perceived as a fan. Yeah. I got from you like, I ain't come out here to make no friends. I came out here to win $1 million.
Yo,
do you hear what I'm saying?
I don't care if you have a son and he's 4. I don't care if you're about to get married and you need money. I do not care if you don't have a job. I don't care if you're unemployed. I'm here to win. And if I have to call a hit and you have to go out for that, then guess what will happen tonight? You will go out. Like, done.
No.
Done.
For sure.
Done.
And so I don't think that we've ever really seen a player like that before, especially an African-American female. Now, on the flip side of that, Missy, do you feel as though your aggressiveness may have been the reason why you got voted out so early?
Oh, my goodness. Okay,
and
definitely.
Let me just also preference this. Yes. And also, let me just also preference this by, you know, the first tribal council that Aaron's at, you know, on the jewelry. And you walk out and say, this ain't what the jewelry's supposed to look like. Girl, if I could have came through that TV screen and slapped you.
I could. Okay. Good. Two part. So I'll do Aaron's first because that's my guy. I can't do any podcast, any interview without talking about the love that I have for him. Like, that is my family. You know, it's winning would have been great, but that's my brother. Like, I love him. I'm so happy to have him. Let me set the scene. I'm in the jungle.
Okay, come on.
I am
action.
In the, action. All right. Ain't no cuts here. Ain't no edit. Okay. I'm in the jungle.
Ooh, ooh.
I'm. Ooh. All right. Yeah. Okay, don't step on that. Don't. Okay. Yeah. So I'm walking around. I'm in the jungle. And I'm like, wow, today feels off. I'm sipping a cup of tea out of a damn coconut. I don't know if I can curse. And I'm just like, this
This is a weird day. Why is Elizabeth talking to Dean so much? Why is Elaine running around so frantically? And so my body, my spirit felt wrong. And then we go to the challenge. I felt good in the challenge. I see it's a split tribal. Not for a second. Not for a second do I think from that split tribal that it was me or Aaron, just because of who I thought that we were working with so closely. And so my plan going into the split tribal was whoever's on the jury, I would base my vote off. Either it had to be Tommy or Karishma to work with my numbers. Do I want to be a guy or a girl? When I saw the back of this man's head, I could cry right now. When I saw that red shirt and those boxers, my life changed. Like, I was heated. Because you live out there for so long, it's not a game to us. I think that's what a lot of fans have to understand. It's not a game. It's not fake. My friend just died, and I'm attending his funeral, and I have to watch him. I watched him die, essentially. And so when I walked out there and I said that, I think Jeff saw the look on my face. And obviously, everyone knows everything about what's going on. So they have all of our personal takes and who we love the most. So when I saw that, that was not gameplay. That was not me talking to the camera. I don't want time. That's just, my brother just died. And I can't for the life of me reason why or how I couldn't, I let that happen. Because honestly, if anybody's going to kill that man in that game, it's going to be me. Those other people could be completely honest, y'all don't deserve it.
No, and I feel you, but here is where, like, you know, this is where I'm going to have to interject as a fan of the thing, as a fan of the show that never made the merge, that did not go that far. What I would say to you in that aspect, if I could have been a little whisper in your ear, so, like, yes, we might be attending your brother's funeral, but girl, the family legacy needs to continue to go on. And I feel like, you definitely got caught up in that. And I think that a lot of fans, what they don't realize is that, like, listen, watching Survivor on TV is fun. But listen, when you are peeing, when you are pooping in the ocean, when you are sleeping on bamboo, when you are waking up next to somebody's morning breath, that, like, you not trying, like, it, like, the game kind of sort of takes over. So I can 100% respect that and get where you're coming from, because it's just like you know, you just lose all control of, like, everything that's going on. But definitely when I saw that, let's just get right into it, girl. Let's get into the nitty gritty. So that same episode, girl, now that we know that you're attending your brother's funeral and you, in retrospect, know how you've been playing the game and with the Karishma, how aggressive you've been to Karishma, do you feel like, from that episode, do you feel like you will want to take that back, or do you still stand like as strong as you was going for Karishma?
Yes. Okay. So, great question. Regarding Karishma, regarding my entire game, I played how I played, and the way I played, I lost. So, yeah, we all have regrets, right? I don't know. We can't take it back, though, so it's hard to say that I would take it back. But with Karishma, what the edit doesn't show or didn't get across, Karishma and I, whether or not the fans can wrap their head around it, we were working together. However, what's difficult to understand as an African-American player, as a player of color, there are certain things that I felt like I couldn't do out there. I didn't feel like I could have this open relationship with Aaron or Karishma. And I sat them both down and I told them this. I was like, hey, guys, honestly, us together, out in the public working together, it could be perceived as a threat. We don't know. So I'd rather work like in the cut. And so I loved how the show, I didn't think there would be any scenes of me and Aaron working together because we never spoke. I didn't speak to that man for 30 days. He would give me a signal. He would raise his eyebrows. We would go to the well for 10 seconds. So with Karishma, every day I checked in with her. Kay, in public, Mama Kay, I love you. In public, I don't know you. I don't like you. Don't talk to me. And that was our mantra. You know, we had an alliance. It was called the Bench of Trust. We would go hide out sometimes before votes and talk it out. Hey, Karishma, the whole tribe is coming in hot at you. I'm going to join them for this vote. I have to, or they're going to know about our alliance. And we can't have anybody knowing. This is an alliance that goes to the end. So we were working together. But I think living out there for so long, it's hard. It's hard, right? We all have different love languages. My love language, I think I like people coming to me and telling me and talking to me. Elizabeth was my main person because we slept together every night. We spoke about everything. And that confirmed to me that we were together. You know, it was confirmed. I felt that. Right. With Karishma, we never got to talk. And anytime that we did talk, because of the way our alliance was set up, because we thought that was the best way, it was very in public. It was very aggressive and it was off-putting. And watching that episode back, yeah, I definitely take it back. Watching it back, I'm like, whoa. Like, I know we're supposed to be playing a role, but no, like that, it didn't look right and it definitely crossed the line. Like, it was just too much. And I loved how she told me off. Like, Missy, you're 13 years younger than me. Sit down. You're right, Mama right. Kay. Like, you're right. What am I doing?
And definitely, I can completely understand how that conversation could seem so aggressive, because it's like, I only got 5 minutes to talk to you. Listen to me.
Right. No, I mean, we had less. So we got back into camp. I looked at my group. I had me, Elizabeth, Elaine, Karishma, and Tommy. So breaking it down further, right, just all Lyro women and the big redhead, right? And I'm like, Kay, they don't like you. They don't want you. We have 2 minutes, not even 5 minutes. We have 2 minutes before Tommy suspects that I'm lying to him, before Elaine and Elizabeth feel uncomfortable with me and don't want to talk to me. I really, really just need you to listen to me. Let me rant real quick. I have an idea. I've been hiding this fake idol. You already knew about the fake idol. Let's make it together. Let's make a move. Nobody knows we made the moves together. Nobody would know that I gave you this idol to scare Tommy. We still vote Tommy out. Now, Karishma, you have a move. I have a move. Dang. And now we are openly working together. And that's what you wanted. You wanted to be like this duo. And this, I was like, this is our chance. This is our time. The iron's hot. The way she took it, little girl, 13 years younger than me, sit down. Not only sit down, I'm not going to make you sit down. Actually, I'm going to send you home because I can't. And that's good. Emotional moves, though, unfortunately, do not win you the game. However, I kind of feel like Spencer from your season. Spencer, very smart, very strategic, right? But I don't think, and he said this, he's like, I played with them like chess pieces. I should have played with them like people. And I think for me, I removed the, I don't care if you have a kid or if you're sick or I just want to win. Right. I think I took too much emotion out of it to where even after the season was over, a lot of them were very anxious to meet me. And I'm like, no, guys, like, I'm funny. Like, it's like, I say dope still. I promise I smile. But that was a game that would change my family's life. You know, like, my family struggles. I'm trying to fix it. If y'all not struggling, you don't know what it's like not to eat. I know what it's like. So I need it. I need it. You know? So, yeah.
Definitely. And then to talk about the drama of the whole season, in which we don't really need to get into a lot of, but you know, you were seen you were definitely seen as a villain-esque player. Then the drama yes. unfolds and you know, you're seen as the most despicable person in the world, which I wholeheartedly disagreed with. I didn't necessarily agree with your actions out there. However, I was not out there. So I can't speak to what I would have done, what I would have, like, you know, how I would have played. However, I definitely did not agree with how, you know, social media and how everyone treated you during that time. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all make mistakes. And it's important for us to grow from them. Do you want to have a comment, or I'll give you the floor to say whatever you want to say in regarding that situation? But I definitely just wanted to touch on it because I didn't really feel like you were given a platform to talk about how you felt, your emotions. We all read your apology, which I thought was sincere and great. But like, is there anything that you want to say to the naysayers, to like your fans, your believers, that like, you know, just whatever, I just want to give you the floor.
Oh, wow. Okay, sweet. Awesome. Yeah. Throughout the whole process, we definitely haven't had a voice to speak our mind. So thank you. For me, I didn't realize how difficult Survivor would be to play. And so it's hard. And I get where the hate comes from. So two parts. I understand the hate. I'm also very, so much more so appreciative and thankful for the love. Just to start, the Misfits, y'all are dope. Team Missy, I love y'all so much. I don't understand, but this is great. Thank you for caring about me so much, for all the messages, all the fan mail. I have felt so loved. This has been the best holiday of my life. Super great. So yeah, the game. The game is very hard. And as a viewer, everyone has to understand, you see everything. You know everything I am thinking. You know everything Dean is thinking. You know everything that Aaron is thinking. I'm in an alliance with Aaron, and you know more about Aaron than I do as a viewer, right? Because you're seeing the entire screen. You're seeing all 20 players all at once. For us, we don't get to see that. We have a very narrowed view. And sometimes that narrow view is changed whether or not, did it rain today? Did I get my 10 calories of rice? Or did we lose a reward? Now we're upset. Now we're angry. Are we acting very emotional? It's just a hard game. So I think that's been the hardest thing to convey, I guess. None of us knew. It's a hard game. It's a very difficult game. And without the insights of every single player, without knowing exactly how every single player feels, it's impossible to make the right decision. And that's Survivor, though. That's why Survivor is so interesting and intriguing. And so from that point of view, as a fan, I don't love the hate mail and the death threats, but I understand, because the show is meant to provoke you. And also my character is meant to be very polarizing this season. However, without all the information, it's impossible for us to make the right decision. So yeah, it's been difficult. It's been a very difficult time. Yeah.
For sure. And I know that, like, during the time I obviously reached out to you, and I was just definitely concerned. I was happy that you took a social media break, because, you know, these trolls and everybody writing in the messages, they not real people in the sense of, like, wishing you death and all of that stuff. Like, they're just, like, trolls. And I was glad during that time that you were able to kind of, like, process and, you know, sort of take your responsibility in the situation. However, you being able to reflect on it and grow from the situation, in my opinion, is the most important thing here, because when somebody, I feel like, and just my own personal opinion, and this doesn't have to do anything more so with the controversy, but in life, if someone does something to us and we just get mad at them and scream at them, I always ask, and you know, this is just my background from a social worker, like, what does that do? I never get it. And I always feel like everything in life is a teachable moment. So if someone does something wrong or someone does something that offends you, instead of like say, oh, I hate you, like, how about come up with love? Show with compassion. How about a teachable moment? How about a time to, you know what, to really be like, you know what, girl, let me just tell you where I'm coming from, how I feel, and this and that. Like, I always feel like when you come from that type of place, you're able to, like, move the needle forward. You're able to have a productive conversation.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question to you was, like, do you feel like this has tarnished your Survivor game, or do you feel like you were able to take something from this and you still, like, are just as in love with Survivor? Like, where are you at?
Wow. Yeah.
With the game, with, like, something like that.
Okay. My love for the game, I think, is very deeply rooted. I started loving the game when I was in college. I'm a military veteran, so I went to the Air Force Academy. And while I was there, I played basketball. Our team sucked. Like, there's no way around it. I love y'all. I hope y'all listen to this. We sucked. And we would just lose. We just lose, lose, lose. And I was so upset about it that I picked up Survivor because I heard about a show where this man says, drop your buffs, and then you get a new start. You get a new lease on life, basically. And I was like, oh, that's dope. I need that because the school, I may have to go. And so I think because I love Survivor so much from that, I've seen every single season multiple times. You know, I fangirl over all the alumni. You know, meeting you and Wendell, I cried in the car when I was leaving. You know, I actually cried. I don't think my love for the game could ever go away. I think, though, after this season, for me, I'm not big. Before the season, I wasn't very big with social media. I had a brain tumor, and so I kind of had a big, big step back from social media because it became too hard for me to deal with. And so to finally get to be on my season, I don't even know how. I sat at the finale and almost cried when this, I did not win. I did not even sit final three. When this man walked out, when Jeff Probst walked out with the box, I almost started tearing up on stage. They had to fix my makeup. Like, this is just, to do this, to have watched for so long and to say you think you can do it and you want to play and to go out there. And, you know, I feel like I had a good game. I loved my game. I don't think that anything could tarnish my love for Survivor. Obviously, 40's coming up. I'm going to still watch 40 and hype 40 because I love the people playing. But I think I will probably just take, regardless of anything, regardless of how the game would have turned out, I was still going to take a moment to myself and just back away. I'm not used to the autographs or I'm not used to the pictures. I don't even own clothes, you know. I travel. I don't live anywhere. I'm basically homeless. I have three outfits. That's why Bryce hates my hoodie, because it's all that I own. So I wasn't expecting this. This is so much. All of it is so much. The fame, the hate, the love. It's all so much that I'm thankful for all of it because it's an experience in my life. And I learned from my brain tumor, no matter what the experience is, positive or negative, you have to be thankful because you had the chance to have the experience. You're alive. And two, that's past. And now what you have learned from that experience will move you into a newer, bigger, doper thing. So yes, love is always there, but I definitely probably will take a moment after my Survivor Yard sale is done, you know, after the finale is really done with and wrapped, after I say thank you to all the fans and my DMs and return all the fan mail, I'm just going to take a step back for sure. But am I a fan? Yeah. And now I'm a player. Like my player, my card came in the mail. Missy Bird Survivor season 39. It's not going away. Like that's yes. me. Yeah, that's me.
And I also think this is important, Missy. First of all, let me just interject real quick. Like, you're a legend. You're our Survivor legend. So the way you played the game has never been seen in an archetype. You broke the mold.
Let's go.
So you should be proud of the way that you played the game. In life, we stumble, we fall. But at the end of the day, girl, it's about how we get up, how we recover.
Yes.
Do you don't think that there's like not a million people in their life that have like done something, not saying you, but I'm just saying that have done something that they regretted, that have done something that they felt like, oh, this is going to like, no. It's about how you pick yourself up, how you continue to move forward, how you put your head up high and you move forward. That is really what defines somebody, okay? I'm a big supporter of yours, but I'm just saying like, yeah, first of all, you should take some time to reflect on the amazing opportunity that you've had, on the way that you were able to change other people's lives. But girl, you better continue to hold your head up high. You better let them know you is Missy Mother Bird from season 39, okay?
Let's go. Like,
don't get me started over here, Missy.
No, hype man, I love you so much. No,
don't get
sure.
me started. I can tell you the night of that controversy, of all of that ish went down, when you and Aaron won the two immunity challenges, I was watching with Wendell and like I almost was in tears. I've never seen on Survivor two African American players winning immunity like that. That's major.
That's wild.
And so I feel like it's important, girl, for you to celebrate your success.
Come on.
For you to acknowledge your mistakes, apologize for them, and move on. If people want to hold you to the cross for that, then baby, that's them. Okay.
Yeah, it's like yes. Wow.
So we ain't even like we done with that conversation, but I just wanted to end it on that because it's like, you know how I feel in love about you. So like, we ain't even gonna go there, girl. You broke the mold.
My next question is,
would you play again?
It's a certain, like, they don't want me back out there.
Don't say that, girl.
They don't want me to terrorize.
That's not the question, girl. The question is, okay, let me put my host hat on, girl. The question is, would you play again?
Ooh, hot take. Season just wrapped, you know, what, a week ago? Would I play again? They called me today. I'm on the boat, I think.
Okay, girl. So, yes. Now, here's another question. Oh, I feel like I'm a reporter. Hold on. Wait. Let me wet the whistle. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh, same. Hold up.
So, if you were to play again, what do you think you would change in your game? Or would you say, like, F it, I'm playing. I'm doing it all again. Let's go. Messy,
wow.
Messy.
Messy, what would messy.
You...
Messy Missy part two.
Yes. Is there anything? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So I try not to think about this too much because outside of the game, I'll say real life Missy and game Missy. Game Missy, I am whatever the type, is it type A? I am constantly crunching numbers, thinking, I'm not sleeping, I'm pacing. And so outside the game, I think I'm the most relaxed human being that I know. So it actually gets me too hype thinking about my potential next way that I would play. I think that to get even to the place where I made it in the game, which was not far enough for me, I can't play the way I played.
Let me just interject real quick. So I know you got the floor, but for some of us, we got voted out third. Okay.
Okay. You know what?
So,
time out.
So
time
just
out.
Just continue, girl.
You like, but watch what you say.
Okay. Keep it cute.
Stop. Okay. So you're right. I hate you.
Girl, you made the merge. You got the merge.
You're
piece.
Right. Oh no. Yeah. No, I will hype the moments. You're right. Like I'm to make the merge. Anybody that makes the merge, like you have the chance to win the game. Merge morning. Let me tell you, I can't move that well. Like I'm older. I did a backflip out the tent. I did a back, like I jumped, I leaped, and I was screaming like a child. Merge day. It's merge day. I've been dreaming, like merge day. I'm here. Give me my buff. Give me my buff. So yeah. I think though, because of how I played and just how much of my strategy was shown, I guess I wasn't expecting to be shown to be that strategic. My game would have to be totally different if I were to go back. And so,
what I would say is, mind you, you know, you may not want to take strategy advice from me. I think your gameplay was excellent. I just think your pedal to the metal of the game. So only thing I would say is, baby, just do the speed limit, girl. You ain't got to speed through the game, okay?
You're right. So, okay, yeah. So I'll definitely thank you. Good. Lovely. Great host, sir.
Yes.
It's the Purple Pants Podcast. All right.
Okay, babe, get your headphones in. Listen up.
Ooh. All right. Here we go. So definitely, they were in a neighborhood where the speed limit was 15, and I was in the NASCAR. Like, I was NASCAR. I was a driver. And I get that. And my reasoning for that, and again, like, I'm not going to say that it was the wrong gameplay to make. Anybody at any point in time, if you get casted, you can win. No matter who you are, what you do, what you say, how you act, you can win. So for me, and this goes back to how much I just wanted it. It was, I called last year my Oprah year. Everything that I wanted in my life just seemed to be working out. You know, brain tumor gone. Road trip was amazing. I got to see Beyonce. Hold up. Time out. I got to see Beyonce. Like, Beyonce. I was like, wow, you know, I get casted for the show. I just trusted my instinct. And when I got to the beach the first 3 days, I didn't speak. You know, they're not going to show it in the edit, but I didn't talk because I was scared. I had finally gotten the thing that I wanted the most. And when I got there, I was petrified. I did not talk to anyone. I laid on the ground in the fetal position and I honestly cried the first 3 nights. Like, I was messed up because statistically, the first vote out is a female. Statistically, the first vote out is a minority. I am both. I am both. I'll say it in another language. Like, I am both. Like, I am both. I am both of those things. And so going out there, and I rely heavily on stats because of my background, I was petrified, terrified. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Please. I'm nice. I'm kind. Like, just, I didn't want people to think I was mean or too aggressive or talk too much. So I just didn't say anything. And then we went to a tribal where, I don't know if we can talk about Jeff in this way, but we went to a tribal and Jeff just triggered me really quick. The first couple episodes, I didn't say anything at tribal. Jeff said the right words at the right time to me. And I think it kickstarted my game. I allowed outside forces to kickstart my game before I was ready. My confessionals, Bryce said, come in hot. My confessionals were hot since day one. Dean, do not bite the hand that feeds you or I will come for you. My confessionals were hot. Nobody knew what I was saying in my confessionals, though, so my game was fine. It wasn't until that tribal where I began the way that I spoke in confessionals. I told myself, Missy, in confessionals, say what you want. Come at these people. Let America know that you are running the game. In camp, I wanted to be the 23-year-old, oh, guys, that's super dope. That's awesome. Do you like my drug rug? I just wanted to be that. And guys, if you need me to lift heavy things, I can. The hungrier you get, the longer you're out there, the harder it is to hide who you are.
Like, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And even with you being a double minority, the target is even harder on you. And I think that that's something that is not talked about. I don't like to bring it up, but I also just feel like it's something that needs to be brought up. Like, I don't think people know how hard it is to be black out there. Let alone, like you said, you're black and a female. I was black and I was gay, openly gay. Like, that was, why do you think I went home number three? Like, and I just think that it's so frustrating. And so it's like, we also have this, like, I don't know if I'm saying this right, this double on contendre or I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you don't want to be seen, but you need to be seen, because if you're not seen, then they're like, oh, you're disposable. But if you're not seen enough, then it's like, then if you're seen too much, then it's like, oh, they running the game. So it's like, this line that we have to walk is just so hard, and there is no rule books to Survivor. They're like, you know what I mean? It's like, all we have are the other seasons to go off of. So mm-hmm. I feel like what you're speaking on is truth, but I'm so glad that you did play the way that you played despite the outcome, Because you know what? You were at home inspiring some brown skin girl to be like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play me a hard game and I'm going to win Survivor. Yeah, so yeah. Absolutely. So another question I got for you is, do you feel like, and after watching the whole season, what do you feel like? This is good. I feel like I'm
when you gotta read it back to yourself. Yes. Yeah, wow, that's how you know.
What do you feel like was the most powerful move in the game post merge, and what do you feel like was one of the most underrated moves of the game?
My personal moves or just on the show?
On the show, not including you. Like, it could be, if you feel like it was you, then say you. But it, like, just what do you feel like was the most powerful move, like, post-merge? And what do you feel like was the most underrated post-merge?
Ooh, okay. 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 Most powerful, most underrated. Okay. You know what? Honestly, I think my answer to each question is the same.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So let me go ahead and hype. Yeah. Give me another bell real quick. Let me prepare myself. Let me go ahead and hype my girl. Let me hype Nora. All right. Yes. Let me hype her. So Nora did. Ooh. Let me go to church. Listen to me. Listen.
Come on. You know, we got the church announcements. Ooh. Come on, girl.
All right.
You want to put something on the church announcements? Come on.
Wow. All right. Listen up. This Sunday morning, my girl did everything that I wanted to do in the game, but could not because she lasted to the final three. My girl wore the necklace more times than some people will wear in their entire life. My girl has more necklaces than most of the alumni combined. Come on. Now let's talk about most powerful move, most underrated move. Here we go. So let's go back to 36. When Wendell and Dom were playing, y'all had this dynamic duo. Everybody loved Win and Dom. It's the Win and Dom show, right? When Dom took Wendell down to the beach and like men, Dom said, I love you. I cannot take you with me. If you make fire and you sit next to me, great. I love you. We played this game together. I respect you. We are friends for life. But just know your game rivals mine and I have to feed my family first. But I love you, right? That move right there, like, for me, that meant so much. Like, that meant, because it's just real.
Right.
That's his family in the game, but in real life, Dom legitimately has children and a wife. You know, he has cousins. He has, like, aunts. He has uncles. So when Nora, to her number one person, Lauren, said, Lauren, in all honesty, you can beat me. I'm thinking that maybe your game can beat mine. Unfortunately, I can't take you because I worked for this. I earned this. I'm wearing the necklace. I decide. And honestly, if you go home, it benefits me. But I do love you and I do care about you. For me, one, most underrated, because when the guys do it, I just felt like it was this beautiful, powerful moment. When Nora does it, it's been talked about. It's been this and that. Nora made the move to help set her up to win. And on top of that, why are y'all saying anything? Because your girl got the necklace on anyway. She made the decision. All right.
Let me just chime in real quick because I was one of those naysayers.
Yes.
coming for Nora's neck. Now, mind you know me, I love Nora, but I just felt like, and again, I always feel bad when I talk like this because, like, one, I just want, you know, if Nora listening, I love you, Nora. If Lauren listening, I love you, Lauren. But I'm not talking as, like, the Survivor alum Bryce. I'm talking as the fan Bryce watching.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me talk to fan Bryce real quick. Fan Bryce.
So,
yeah.
Hi, how are you? So what I saw from that was, and I don't know, I just felt like maybe they kept saying Lauren was this social threat. Now, mind you, my girl, she slayed the whole season, but we never heard of her being a social threat until this episode. So that's kind of one that rubbed me the wrong way. Now all of a sudden she's a threat and she's got to go.
Yes.
Like, that kind of annoyed me a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, okay. That's convenient for y'all to say now, but I just felt like it would have been smarter for Nora. I felt like her chances would have, I don't know, because I don't want to sound mean, because again, this is fan Bryce, not lover of Nora Bryce, but did you win, Nora? No.
Okay.
Did you get any votes? No.
Okay.
How many votes do you think you might have would have got if you were sitting next to Lauren?
Okay, so yeah, let me go back, and this is good, like, and I like that you're so self-aware, Bryce. This is why we're friends, honestly. You're aware, like, not alumni Bryce that loves Nora, not alumni Bryce that knows the game because I've played the game. But as a viewer from home who has all the information and none of what was actually going on the island, here's my perspective.
Right.
And I respect you for that. So in the game, from our perspective, or I won't even say our because I was in the jury at the time. So from Nora's perspective in the game, and again, she's a very narrowed view. Nora doesn't know how we feel about Lauren. Nora doesn't know whether or not we want to give Lauren votes, you know? Nora has a perception. And in that moment, Nora's perception of how the game was going and who was on the jury at that time, that if Lauren made it to the final three seats with her, she would lose. And I understand that perception because I was there. I was in the game with her. I completely agree, fan Bryce. No, Lauren was not this big... I love Lauren. Like, I love Lauren to death, you know? And is this a hot take?
Lauren was a huge threat, but it's like, we never heard them say anything like that until
right.
now.
Right, it wasn't backed
like,
up.
And I just feel like, but is she such a threat because she's the only African-American and she's a female? Like, you know what I mean? Like, say what you really want to say.
Yes, okay, good. I was like, where are we going with this? Like, how hot is the hot tea that we about to put on this take? So
It's hot.
It's sizzling. So basically, from the jury perspective, all right, multiple examples. After Aaron and I left the game, who was next to go?
Was Elizabeth, right?
Right. Was it because Elizabeth was a threat to win? Was it because she was super strategic? Was it because she was super social? No, it was because the perception of the people who were still left in the game with their narrowed view was, dang, Elizabeth got two guaranteed votes in the jury, because you best believe Bing and Bang, Missy and Aaron will vote for her regardless of her game. If Elizabeth Lion Beazle would have made it to the seats, I would have given her my resume. Elizabeth, okay. Tell us why you did this. Elizabeth, why did you do that? How did you do that? Tell us how you used Missy and I would have given her my entire resume, because that's my girl. That's my family. And so... So with Nora...
I would just...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Because, go ahead. Because, good girl, if I'm a host, I got to let you talk. So go talk, sorry.
Because if I'm a host, you're like, we talking at home. So with Nora and Lauren, Nora's perception was that Lauren had more friends on the jury. When you come down, and again, it hurts to even talk about, I don't know the exact feeling of being top whatever, because I was not. I lost. But when you get that close and you see the money... And not even see the money. Nora has the necklace on. She made the best possible decision with the information she had. And obviously the viewer fan Bryce, y'all got more information than we have. So was it the right decision to help Nora win? I don't know. But in her moment in the game, that's why I'm saying, for me as a player and who saw her thought process and how she was trying to crunch numbers at that time, I respect it as a powerful move. Was it the powerful move that should have helped her win? It didn't. So no. So maybe it's not the most powerful move of the season. But if we're going off of the most powerful move that the fans perceived, then, I mean, I guess, like, wouldn't you just give it to Kelly found three idols? That's cool, right? Like, that's cool. But as somebody who lived it and I have the inside perspective, what touched me, what moved me was as a player, as a fan, and now, dang, I'm sitting here on the jury. I'm eating popcorn, living my life dream. I felt like eating popcorn, like, damn, this is hot. I felt, Nora, I see where you're coming from. I see why you would think that Lauren would get more votes than you, whether I disagree or not. I see the power move, and the way she explained it, I don't know if it made the edit. It was intellectual. It was genius. So I respect
it. Let me just tell you how you just broke me all the way down, and how you just got me together. I have to be honest. I don't think I thought about it how you just explained it to me. And I think that, again, Survivor player Bryce, who got voted out third, and fan Bryce, none of them have ever been to the jury. None of them have ever had to manage jury votes. So you know what?
Right.
I think that was like such an excellent point that you said, like, with the information that she has at that point in time. And what is even more key is something that I didn't even think about, and which is why probably my game sucks so much, is that, like, it's not even about information. It's not even about the facts. It's about what people perceive.
And I think you know what perceiving. Yeah. It's deep.
And that just, you're right. Like, so wow.
Yeah, come on.
You're really having me like, Yeah, like, and so if she's thinking Lauren has all of these votes, what, like, and even if Tommy and Dean have, like, had this excellent last episode, right. Like, in her mind, she's right. Like, Jory's like, I never thought of it.
Lauren doesn't see Tommy and Dean's last episode because, again, it's not episodes to us. We live
right,
in, like,
right,
we're living.
Right, wow.
We don't see cutie Dean in the confessionals. Mama, look at me now. Bling, bling, bling. I found this. I did that. I hurt Tommy. Like, we don't see that. Nora doesn't see that. All Nora sees is Dean doing yoga. And then she looks at the jury in the same way. I'm telling you, we could call her right now. We could FaceTime her. Elizabeth Lyon Beazel, if you make those seats, every move, I would make up moves. E, tell them about that idol. E, tell them about that idol that you found 3 years ago and you never played it. Like, I'm giving it to you. So As a player in the game, you got to look at the jury. Who does Missy like more? Well, Elizabeth is wearing green. So Missy might give her vote to Elizabeth. I got to take out. It's not about ration. It's not about logic. It's just what you perceive is being perceived. And that's many layers, you know?
I forget that so much as a fan, because not only because I'm wetting the whistle, but, you know, I literally never thought about it like that before, because I'm like, Nora, what are you doing? But obviously in Nora's mind, like, if Lauren has been so social and has been so strong, more like, wow, I never broke it down like that. Like, come on, Purple Pants Podcast.
Come on. I have to. And I love you said Nora's mind. Let me tap into Nora's world real quick. As a person, I've been through a lot. I know I'm super young, and I love how everybody reminds me. I get it. I'm 25, y'all. I understand. But I had a brain tumor, and I thought I was going to die from it. I feel like a lot has happened in my life. The reason that I am such a defender of Nora in anything possible, anytime I meet genuine people willing to speak their truth, and they're just legitimately good people, come on. Like, Nora's mind, Nora's world. Like, we went into Nora's world, and I got to see it firsthand. That's my girl. She's loving. Yeah. She's caring. She does what's best to other people. And for her to make that move and to really mean that, like, I am not a – I remember – quote me. I am not a selfish person, but in this moment, I have to be selfish. Mm. I'm a hyper. I'm always going hyper. Come on. Nora's world.
I love Nora. I mean, mind you, I fan Bryce and Survivor player Bryce. I love Nora, and I was rooting for her to win. Now, question: have you ever seen a movie Last Holiday with Queen Latifah?
Oh yeah, you know it. Anything the Queens.
Just feel like, you know, with you talking about your brain tumor, and I feel like this last year has been your like last holiday movie with Queen Latifah.
Yes. Oh my goodness! Can you stop?
Wow. Like, I just thought about that. Anybody that has never seen the movie Last Holiday with Queen Latifah, I believe, I don't know what Queen Latifah was diagnosed with, but she only had a certain amount of time to live. And so she was like, you know, always living her life kind of like, you know, very safe, in the edge. And like, you know, she thought she was going to die. And so she was like, I'm going to be courageous and live my last couple of days. And then ultimately, like, she didn't end up dying and started living her true life. But like, girl, this is you. This is your last holiday, girl. Like,
whoop. Come on.
Yes. Like, living your truth, living your life. Yes, I'm loving this. That just popped into my head.
I love that.
So what do you think as the winner? So, I got another question. So, if it's a final two, right?
Yeah.
And it's Tommy and Dean, who you voting for?
If it's a final two and it's Tommy and Dean, okay, this is great. And this piggybacks somewhat on talking about Nora and Lauren and how perception and jury makes no sense. So for me personally, and I love them both to death, let me talk trash about both of them and then I'll hype them up.
But just don't talk too much trash about my zaddies, all right.
Get out of here. All right. So Tommy, I can beat you in basketball any day, anytime. Text me, DM me, you know where I am. Turn your location on. All right, Dean, honestly, same thing, but I don't even have to say it to you. You just know. All right, now, I love you both. Okay, so if it's Tommy and Dean sitting there and we got the jury, for me personally, if you watch the last episode, it looks like I'm in love with Dean. Because honestly, like, I may be, I am. So I was hyping him. Mama, look at me now. I'm in the green room. I'm lit. Mama, look at me now. Like, the dude is killing. Tommy, you're teaching fourth grade math. I'm teaching advanced algebra. Can you step up? Can you catch up? I was loving it. I was loving it off the top of his head. You know, he had food. He had energy. for me, where D messed up, and me and him have talked extensively about this, because where he lost my vote, because my vote did go to Tommy. I don't know if that's like out there, right? It is now. So where Dean lost my vote, because Dean is, okay, again, hyping him. Dean, last live row standing, you were able to flip throughout the game. You were able to have people stupidly save you and play idols for you. Come on, y'all get out of here. Other people, not even from your original tribe, you got your own tribe backstabbing you, taking out your girlfriend. I'm sorry. Like, I did it. I took out your girlfriend. It was me. Like, you got people doing this to you, and you still made it top three, top two, catching votes. Dean, congratulations. That's amazing. Where you lost my vote, when we were sitting at Final Tribal, you taunted me. You looked at me, and this is, again, this goes to show you how irrational a jury can be. If you're wearing green, and that's my favorite color, maybe I'm voting for you, right? Dean, you looked at me, and literally, you were like, you didn't know this, Missy, but Elizabeth was never working with you. She had a final two deal with me. Okay, Dean, you know what? You're right. You caught me. My best friend lied to me. She kept lying to me through Ponderosa because she was so afraid to tell me. You were right, and you called it, and you wanted to see my reaction because I was so confident that you were wrong. And when I turned around and I looked at Elizabeth, I looked at E. I was like, E, like, what's going on? Tell him off. Tell him off. What's going on? She didn't. And I was like, dang, you were lying to me about something, right? Shouldn't have been shook. But for me, like, my family was my family, and they were too much my family out there, Aaron and Elizabeth. And for Dean to say that, you don't need to taunt me. This is the one time in the game. Y'all voted us out. Y'all took us out. Y'all took out Jack, Kelly, Jamal, Aaron, me. Good job. Congratulations. But now at this point, you need to sit back and smile and tell me how pretty I am, because I own a tenth of your $1 million right now. I have stock. I have the stock of your $1 million, right? Do you want the million? Don't tell me my game sucked and don't try to hurt me, you know? So for me, I didn't care who won at that point. Tommy, Chuck, Jeff, you want another million? Take it. I'll write Jeff down. Can I write my own name? If Missy can't write down Missy, put it in the lottery. Put it in the lottery. And then on top of that, Dean, I was hyping your game. I was with you. You had me. You sold me. You were a car salesman at Final Tribal, and you had me. I was yelling in the rain. I'm like, this is kismet. It's meant to be. I'm on Survivor. I'm about to give this man I'm about to give him the money. No. No, 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 no. Jury votes are irrational. Jury votes are not about strategy. They are not about loyalty. They are not. Jury votes can be about the sky was purple today and your eyes are purple and I'm in love with you, you know? So my vote in that moment, it went to Tommy. If Dean wouldn't have talked, probably if he wouldn't have taunted me, I can't say 100%, but yeah, Dean probably would have caught my vote. Tommy, wow. I can honestly list all the reasons as to why Tommy was deserving of a vote, but I could spend this entire podcast listing reasons as to why all 20 of the cast deserve the vote, you know?
So, yeah, the answer to the question is, if it's final two, Tommy or Dean, you vote on Tommy.
If the same things happen and Dean taunts me the same way, I'm an emotional being, Dean. I'm a Cancer. You said you like astrology. I love you so much, but I'm probably just going to give it to the other person. Default the name. Just don't.
Well, if Dean is listening, I'm a Pisces and I like long walks on the beach.
Oh, Dean, you know. Dean, I like them too. I also like chocolate.
Listen, you'll get cut off this podcast so quick. Keep it cute, Missy.
Dean, I like you.
All right. Next question. If it's final two, listen. If it's final two, I turned into Missy real quick.
You
okay,
did,
hold on.
And you better listen. Look, I set up straight. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. Final two, Lauren or Nora, who got your vote?
Ooh, all right. Nora or Lauren? It changed.
First thing that come to your mind.
Oh, you like bam.
First thing that come to your mind. We at Tribal right now. Boom, boom, boom. I'm Jeff. Lauren or Nora?
Oh, I can't do it. I just hyped her so much. I was in admiration of the necklaces. I'm gonna have to go Nora off of the necklaces, because I'm like talking fast and stuttering, but that was my, if I had a bucket list for Survivor, the only thing I didn't meet other than winning was to take Kim's necklace. What is it called? Her title, right? I didn't take Kim's title.
Yes.
And Nora beat me to the title. And so I had, as an athlete, I respect you. I admire you. You got my vote. Athlete to athlete.
How proud of you were you of Lauren being the African-American female?
Okay, good. I'm like, yes, let me hype Lauren. I was going to, yeah, you didn't even have to ask the question. I was going to take it.
For her to be out there and to last as long as she did.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Good. I'm going to talk about all of them. Give me some bells. Give me something. Here we go. Yes. Lauren Ashley Beck. The first woman to lead. I'm going to say it again. The first woman to go out the game statistically is a minority. Lauren Ashley Beck, you are female. You are a minority. And you were the last one standing. I tip my hat. It is something that I could not do. It is something that I have dreamt of doing as a child. It hurts me to see someone else get it. But if somebody has to have it, Lauren, you killed the game. You killed the game and you killed it with a smile. And also, I thought I was lighting the confessionals up. You lit the confessionals up. You did it well. And I'm very, very proud and honored to call you my older sister. Like, I love you very much. You did it. You did it well. And in a dress. Girl, I had tights. You had a dress on. Come on. Come on. And it's like, okay. Come on. And in a dress.
She was out there slaying.
In a dress. In the jungle. In the Fijian jungle with a dress and a machete. Check out her eBay. It's hot. It's selling. With a dress and a machete. You did that. And you did it with poise. You always held yourself together. Whenever I needed to depend on someone, that moment of me and Lauren in the woods when I was about to go home, that's my girl. There are some things that you just cannot describe. I don't know Lauren's entire background. I don't know Aaron's entire background. I don't know Jamal's life story. What I do know is what we do share. And regardless of what your hardship was or has been, I know that you have that. And I feel connected to you. And I love you automatically. I know some part of your life must have been hard. And I feel that. And so to have that connection and to watch her grow, prosper throughout the game, and then to make Final Four and to give her life to that fire, you know, it's beautiful. Like, it's beautiful. It's amazing. I love you.
I love that. And I love kind of ending on a positive note. And I love sisters, supporting sisters and like upping sisters. Is there any final words that you want to just give on your survivor experience?
Ooh, are we moving on or are we rapping? What are we doing?
Whatever you, ooh, this okay. Your show, girl.
Good.
Whatever.
I'm about to say this is the Missy show. Time out. Missy, take five. So to wrap Survivor, super dope experience. Wow. I am so honored. So thankful. It was a lifelong dream and it brings tears to my eyes if I let it, to think that I went out there and I got to play the way I want to play. And I know Bryce don't like it, but I got to wear not one, but two drug rugs. Come at me. Come. I don't care. At me. The Missy Bird. Spell bird with a Y. Spell it right. Thank you. Thank you. Thing. So for me. Yeah, go ahead. Count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 4, 3. Ooh, yeah, count
10,
it out.
8. 10, yeah, 9, 10. 8.
12, 11,
7, 10. 6, 5, 12, 4, 11, 3, 10. 2, what? Yeah, I hope it's burned.
So I'm just, for me, thankful. Coming into the game, I had been traveling on the road. I didn't get to see my family as much. To come home and to get the reception from my family, Missy, we're watching. To get a text every Wednesday from family members I hadn't heard from in like a very long time. Missy, we're watching and we're proud of you. To have family, I can fly to Rhode Island. I can be in Elizabeth's house, Aaron's house, Jamal's house. I just feel so thankful. I left the game with way more than I came into the game with. And for me, amazing. All right. Hot take. Emotional moment over. Hot take.
Oh, all right. So nice.
Lyro, I'm a hype. Okay, I'm going to hype myself real quick. I'm going to hype myself. Guys, listen to me. It's Missy, the Missy Bird, Instagram, Twitter. Follow me, please. Like me. Love me or hate me, actually. If you hate me, follow me and tell me you hate me. I'm here. The office is open. The Missy Bird, spell it with a Y, not an I. The Missy Bird. Great. Listen, I've been traveling. I've been going to a lot of different places. On YouTube, I post a video about all the countries I've been to. You don't like to travel? Bet. I got something else for you. I got something for everybody. Everybody wins. Listen, Lyro's World. We went to Lyro's World. Lyro took a trip to Nora's world, and I got to see the inner workings of Nora's mind. Do you want to see the inner workings of Nora's mind? Check out the YouTube channel. Again, y'all already know, The Missy Bird, spell it with a Y, not an I. If you want to see Aaron lose to me in basketball because he's a chump and he cries, stop crying, Aaron. Check out the YouTube channel. Y'all want to see Aaron play poker against the Ronnie Barta? Check out the YouTube channel. And it just goes on and on. And finally, we finally get to talk about it. Bryce, You know what's coming out.
Yes.
You know what's coming
Ooh,
out.
Ooh, what's coming out? Ooh, tell me, tell
Time
me.
Out. You know what's you don't know what's coming out. It's the Purple Pants Pumpkin Adventures.
Oh, what's that? I don't know what that is.
Right,
what that is, Missy?
Things we had to hide. Listen to me. The Purple Pants Pumpkin Adventures. Me and Bryce took a little trip. We took a little trip together a few weeks ago. All right? I'm going to take y'all back to the holidays. It's seasonal now. I'm taking y'all back to the pumpkin patch. Me and Bryce went and messed up some mazes. Had a little pumpkin carving competition with my best friend. Come on. Come on. Yes. These videos are coming out, y'all.
Oh, I'm excited. All I know is there better not be no exclusive videos of you doing nothing in my house when I wasn't there, okay? That's all I know.
Well, if he don't like that, y'all better tune in because you best believe it happened. You leave me in your house. If you leave me in the lair that is the Purple Pants Podcast lair, I got to get creative, bro. I got to get creative.
Well, one thing that I can say is that, like, you know, me being a, you know, former survivor, a lot of times I reach out to survivors and they don't even know who I am. They like, who you be is? Who that Ooh. Is? And so one thing that I love about you, Missy, is that, like, from the second that I met you, I loved your energy. I loved your tenacity. I loved your fire. And I'm so happy that I can call you my friend. You know, our text message conversations be crazy. Missy don't like the text. She be sending audio voice messages all the time. Like, girl. And I be listening to her messages thinking we on the phone talking back. And I'm like, what? Hello? And I'm like, oh, shoot, it's an audio message. But I'm so proud of the game that you played. I'm so proud that you continue to hold your head up high. I am so proud of you just living your life, your last holiday. It's not your last holiday. Ooh, you have an infinite amount to go on, and I'm just so excited that I can be with you to watch the journey continue.
Let's go. And I feel like I got to hype Bryce real quick. The last hype of this podcast, I'm hyping everybody. Listen, as a fan, guys, Bryce, if you don't know Bryce, you're wrong. I'm a super fan. And I feel like if you like me, you like my gameplay, I'm a super fan. I know exactly who Bryce is, right? The first time I went to Philly, I and my best friend, we ran the Philly steps. I posted this. I put hashtag Philly, hashtag fun, hashtag blah, blah, blah. You know who liked and commented on my post and he did not even know me? This man is just so in love with his city. And he takes care of his city. When he commented on my Instagram post, my life ended. I threw my phone. The Bryce. The Bryce. Guys, listen to me. Purple Pants. If you don't know him, check out the season. Like I watched the season. And you're commenting on my Instagram. I lost it for a minute. I lost it. I couldn't reply to you. I couldn't say nothing. But I saw it. It was like a fist. It was love. It was hearts. Then to meet him. And now to officially be on the Purple Pants Podcast. The Purple Pants Podcast. This man is creating an empire for himself. Come on. Oh. And for me to be here and to be a part of it. And it started with, I checked out your city. I know you live there. I'm not going to get a chance to meet you. You're too famous for me. But I'm in your city. And then you comment. And now here I am. Come on. Full circle. And I love you. And now we're friends. We're friends?
Yes.
We're friends.
Friends.
Come on, we're friends.
Yes. Well, I just have to say thank you so much for giving me the honor and privilege to do your first interview off the island.
Yeah.
It truly means a lot to me, and hopefully you'll come back for season 40. Y'all know how much I love Missy. Y'all know how much I love Survivor. I'm so excited, and thank you so much for this honor and pleasure. And where can people follow you at, Missy, if they're not already following The Mess? Ooh. What's your Twitter? What's your Instagram?
Mess.
The Mess, okay? Where can they follow you at, girl?
All right. If y'all trying to follow Messy Missy for more of these hot takes, for more YouTube videos, for more Instagram posts, Instagram, I keep it real simple, y'all. Instagram, Twitter, at The Missy Bird. Y, not an I. Spell it with a Y, not an I. The Missy Bird. That's it. YouTube, The Missy Bird. That's it, y'all. It's the official.
And there you guys have it. Missy's interview on the Purple Pants Podcast. Y'all already know. It's a
Come on.
It's the Purple Pants Podcast. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Missy, so much for that amazing interview. And you guys might want to tune in next week to see the next exclusive interview I've got for season 39. Listen, Purple Pants Podcast is snatching up them interviews. So, yes, let me know what you thought about this interview. Let me know what you think about Missy. Come on, tweet me, DM me, let me know. All right, now let's get on to one of my favorite segments for the show. It's the Purple Pants Picks, where you pick, I talk, you pick, I say. You already know how it go, because it's a Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up. Ooh. All right. Our first Purple Pants picks comes from Dre_Hammond. Why do you think people stay in unhealthy relationships? Do you think they just don't want to start over or they don't want to be alone? Now, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like, Dre, it is a combination of different things. A lot of times, depending on, and different variables, depending on age, depending on whether or not they've got assets, depending on not whether or not they've got kids. I know that some people want to stay together for the sake of the children. I know that some older people will stay together for the sake of companionship and to have somebody there, okay? Like, if they get sick, who they going to be with? However, in most circumstances, I feel like if you're not happy in a relationship, I do believe that everyone should be happy. And so sometimes making the decision of saying, like, you know what, I choose not to be in this relationship for my betterment of myself, I'm all for it. But you also, Dre, have to take into consideration a lot of different things. People do different weird things. Some people will stay in marriages. Some people, their religion says that you can't divorce. You can't, like, you know. So I don't know. Chad, I'm trying to get in a relationship, Dre. I ain't trying to get out a relationship. So it's kind of hard for me to answer that. But I've got friends and family members that I know have, like, stuck it out in different relationships and have not been happy. I don't know why. Because some people are scared. And some people don't want to be alone. But I always tell my friends, sometimes it's better to be alone than being in a relationship unhappy. I'd rather lay on my bed alone, knowing I ain't get cheated on, knowing that I ain't getting lied on, knowing that somebody ain't chasing this, and this. Like, I don't want all of that. So sometimes, like, and sometimes you need to discover yourself. Sometimes you've been in a relationship for so long that you lose your identity. So sometimes being alone, it's like, it can be fun rediscovering yourself. So, I mean, I don't know. People do what they do, Dre, so I don't know. Next Purple Pants picks comes from E Nikki B 24, and she writes, Dolomite is my name. So that's funny that she writes that. So over the weekend, I didn't really have much to do. I had a lot to do, but I also had a lot of free time. And like, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, let me try to see if I find this movie. Now, and I knew that Eddie Murphy had been on Saturday Night Live. And it was the first time in like over 34 years that he'd been there. He had like an all-star cast with them. The ratings went up like 40%. And I'm like, why is Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live? But then I realized, I said, oh wait, he's got a new movie on Netflix called Dolomite. And I didn't know what to expect from Dolomite, to be honest. I'm like, you know what? I'm just up 1 o'clock in the morning. I can't sleep. Y'all know I'm night owl. I said, let me put something on. But baby, let me tell you, Dolomite is my name was probably the most inspiring movie I've seen all year. And I'm like, it was meant for me to watch this movie. So this movie is like, takes place in like the 1970s in LA, and there's a struggling comedian named Rudy Ray Moore. And now some of you guys may know who Rudy Ray Moore is. I know Rudy Ray Moore from like my grandparents. I remember them like playing his like comedy records back in the day. So the movie is really about Rudy Ray and how he really wants to make it big. Like, he's not happy in his life. He's got this job, but he really wants more. And you know, he creates this alter ego called Dolomite and basically risk everything to, like, so first he's working at this comedy club, and I don't want to give it away too much for y'all because I really want you to watch it because this really is inspiring. So I won't give it away because I really want y'all to watch it. But there's this comedian that is, it just reminds me so much of me, y'all. It's like this comedian has jobs, but it's not doing what he wants to do. And so he finally decides to do what he wants to do, but they keep closing doors in his face. And every time they close a door in his face, he knocks it down and does it his own way and to his own way and to his own way and to his own way. And so he realizes, like, wow, I am where I want to be. And it's really an encouraging movie. Now, mind you, Dolomite is this character that he makes up that essentially is like a pimp. And so he's rather a raunchy character. And back in the 70s, they're like, nobody wants to listen to this type of stuff. But child, they know people is freaks. They like this type of stuff. So it is like such an inspiring movie. It's so funny. It's got Eddie Murphy. It's got T.I. It's got Lunel. It's got so many other people. I can't even think of their names. Don't judge me because I'm wetting the whistle. But it is a star-studded cast. It's even got Titus from Kimmy Schmidt, The Unbreakable. Titus is in there. It was just a really good feel-good movie. In fact, when I'm done recording this, I'm going to watch the movie again because it literally just inspired me. And it was just like, you know what? This is what I need to be watching as this decade concludes. Like, you know what, Bryce? Strap your big boy
underwear on, and you gonna take whatever you want. No matter how many doors close in your face, no matter how many obstacles that I have gone through, I am going to continue to override and overcome it. That's really what I got from Dolemite Is My Name on Netflix. Like, listen, y'all gotta get into it. Next Purple Pants picks we got is Bach_Irish. He writes, The Witcher on Netflix is worth the watch. Now listen, okay? I had me a little date. I don't even get too explicit into it. But yeah, hello date. And like we ended up watching some Netflix and we put on The Witcher. And mind you, he just was not interested. Now, mind you, I love me a period piece. Kind of gives me like Game of Thrones, Vikings type of esque. So I only got to one episode of it. So I'm glad that you are saying, Bach, that it's worth the watch, because I definitely want to get into it. So, all right. And if y'all seen The Witcher, let me know if I need to continue watching it, because I literally am like in the middle of the first episode. But I wanted to do that Purple Pants picks. I have Australian Ashley. She writes, do you prefer hotels or Airbnbs when you travel abroad? So, Ashley, for me, it's different. I always like to look up Airbnbs, and I also always like to look up hotels. Like, I have this thing. Like, when I went to Cuba, the hotels in Cuba were so expensive. Then when I looked at Airbnbs, they were so cheap. So when I went to Cuba, I definitely stayed at an Airbnb. However, like, generally, sometimes if I'm going to, like when I went to Iceland, Iceland is so far out and so wide that it was easier for me to stay centrally in some hotels than to do Airbnbs. So I always just look at where I'm going and the different places to see. And first of all, it's all about the price, okay? Price, number one. Second is the location. After I map out everything that I want to do, I try to see, like, is there a hotel centrally located? And sometimes, if the hotel is a little more expensive, I'll look at, like, is breakfast included? Because then if breakfast is included, I'm like, okay, well, that's saving me $20 a day. So I look at it like that. But either way, I love me a good old Airbnb, and I definitely love hotels. So, you know, I like to do a spa day and all of that good stuff. So, you know, that's, you know what I'm talking about. So I have Harley Mullenman writes, motivators for leading a healthier lifestyle in 2020. Well, Harley, you need to be the motivator. You gotta want it, girl. You have to want to be, that's all you need is yourself. You have to want to motivate yourself. I don't know if you got kids, I don't know if you got a husband, but you want to live a long, healthy life for whoever is in your life. So you don't need any other motivators besides you. And I think that that's the problem a lot of the times, is we set goals off of what we think other people want for us, or what other people, or what we are thinking of other people's opinion. Forget all of that. Girl, we leaving that in that decade. We leaving that behind. In this decade, we are doing this for ourselves, Harley. So whatever goals that you have, that you want, you have to be the motivator. Now, mind you, you should have a good set of friends that you can let them know what your goals are, and your good friends should be motivating you to motivate yourself. But ultimately, you got to be your main motivator, okay? That, listen, all 2020, baby, all 2020. Here we go. ETA Taylor 20 says, what's your favorite or go-to wine? Well, listen, y'all know me. I love a good old box wine. I like a Peter Villa box wine. I like the, I think it's called, now y'all know I'm always butchering names, like Francone, Francesca. Y'all know that one? I like that one. I also love me some Barefoot. I love a sparkling Barefoot Pink Moscato. Ooh, I know. Don't judge me. I might be ratchet, but listen, I love it. I don't know what this brand of Chardonnay that Robin got me is good. So I like the sale wine, but I also really do love Barefoot, or I love Shutter Homes. My mom buys a lot of Shutter Homes. So listen, if the price is right and the wine is wet, listen, then you know I'm wetting my whistle. Oh, the mama writes, favorite races you run and why? So every year in Philly, we do a Broad Street Run, which is a 10 miler. I've been doing it for, let me count my medals, 1, 2, 3, 4. This year was my 4th year, and registry starts in like January. So I will register for my 5th year. I love the Broad Street Run because when I was growing up, I used to always see it on the news, and I never was a runner. I never like thought anything. And I just was like, I thought that literally was impossible for me to do. So growing up, I also this year, I signed up one of the Purple Pants posse, Justin, he's actually doing the half marathon love run in March in Philly. And I told him that I would do it with him. So I am doing the half marathon in March. I'm going to do the hot chocolate, the 15K, and I'm going to do the Broad Street this year. So that's my three runs in 2020. Okay. But I mean, I never looked at myself as a runner. So the fact that I am a runner and that I run these races, it's just amazing and just so much fun. And you always train and, you know, you always think like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. But the best thing about runs and races, if anyone's ever done it, is like the people on the sideline that cheer you on. You never take into consideration that, like, you always think like, oh, I don't know if I could get through them last miles. Baby, let me tell you, them people that's cheering for us on the side is literally the best. I just love it so much. Philippa Faith writes, long flights, especially for big and tall people. So, Philippa Faith, what I would say is you got to be careful with the tickets that you buy. And I would also look for like emergency row seats because generally they are a little more spacious. Also, like the first rows of like you just have to like buy ahead and make sure that you look at the seats. So you might have to pay a little bit more sometimes to like to select your seats or like, you know, that the premium seats, maybe like $30 or $50 more. But if you're a little larger or taller and you need that extra room, I think it's worth the $30 or $40 instead of just kind of getting crammed in the middle. So I just think a little more planning ahead and just, you know, $40, $50 can go a long way. But I know definitely the emergency row is always a seat that I like to get because people don't like that seat, but they are definitely more spacious. Okay. And you could be a superhero. If you got to save the plan, you get to open the door. But so I would just say, Philippa Faith, definitely just spend that little bit of extra money and get sometimes they do have like the premium seats, but sometimes the premium seats be way too much. No, we just want an emergency row or at least get the aisle seat. The aisle seat, in my opinion, is the best seat. So first of all, if somebody has to get up and pee, you don't have to climb over them. You can just kind of get up. And I think they're a little bit larger. And do some research on the airlines that you travel. I know some airlines, like I love Delta and American Airlines, on their newer planes, the seats are a lot bigger. So that's my suggestion to you, boo. Paul Lauren writes, most awkward date. Ciao. Most awkward date. good one. So I would say maybe like 8 months ago, I was talking to this guy who was like, I don't know if he was like in the army, in like some form of the branch of like the military. And like we had been like texting for a while. It was like one of my coworkers was like, oh my God, this guy at my husband's job, like I think you guys would be great. So she had invited me to her house and like I had met him, but I was keeping it cute. You know, just said hi, you know, we exchanged numbers and we started like texting. And so I thought it was going so good. So we were probably like texting for like 2 weeks. And I liked it because it was like no rush to like see each other. And so like, you know, when we texting, it was like, you know, for us to get to know each other, like the things and like the do's and the don'ts and all of this stuff. And so I don't know if this is more awkward, but I don't know. So throughout us texting, you know, we both had acknowledged that like we don't like to move too fast, like especially like if you're dating, like don't get me wrong, you know, freak of the week, but I'm just saying like sometimes when like I meet people in like settings like this, I become like such a prude, like I'm just like everything has to be right. I've kind of put myself on the timeline that I be telling y'all not to put yourself on the timeline, but listen, we leaving that in the decade, in that last decade. So we spent this extensive amount of time, y'all, talking. Like, you know, basically, like, he was just basically saying, oh, like, you know, I don't want to rush into anything, all of this stuff. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we met up for our first date, which was really good. We went to, like, Chinatown. We had some dim sum. I love some dim sum. And so that was really it. That was just supposed to be the date. So then afterwards, because, of course, you know, he couldn't get enough of the baby boy. He was like, do you want to get some tea? I'm like, well, what you mean tea? He's like, some hot tea. He was like, there's this really cool cafe. I'm like, child, you can't get enough of me. I never had no tea before. Let's get some tea. So we got some tea and I'm thinking like, okay, let me go back to my car. So he's like, well, I mean, the night's still young. Do you want to come back to my place and like hang out, watch a movie? He was, I don't know. He's saying something. He got some crackers. He wanted me to see the view of his apartment because he had like a downtown apartment. So I was like, sure. Like, you know, I'm thinking like, oh my God, this is so good. And just amazing. So like, you know, we went down, we like started watching a movie. He was like showing me the view of like the top floor. He had a really nice apartment. So we came back down, we watching a movie. And literally, I was like, Luffy, let me go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom to text one of my friends, Sarah, like, oh my God, girl, I think I met the man of my life. Child, I get out the bathroom, y'all. And so we were kind of sort of like laying, like, I mean, I was like laying on him. He was laying on me. He had like a sectional. So I got up to go to the bathroom and I came back in the room and this motherfucker is naked. Now, mind you, he had a nice body. I was pleasantly surprised at his body because I didn't think he was that cute. But I mean, I thought he had a good personality. But I came out the bathroom, he was like naked, like sitting on the couch. And I was just like, ooh, and ooh. And so I, like, it just threw me for a loop and just everything's just got awkward. Cause then he like started kissing me, but I'm like, okay, I don't know why you're naked. Like, put your clothes back on. And he was like, what, you don't like my body? I'm like, I don't know why you're naked. Like, this is weird. And so it just was weird. And so I just got my stuff and I kind of sort of wanted to keep it cute. And like, I just left. And he didn't text me after that and I didn't text him. Or maybe he texted me the next day and was just like, I felt like he, I don't even know. But it just was not the same ever since then. But my thing was like, first of all, we did all of this texting and talking about how we don't like this, how do we don't like that. And I'm in your house for 15 minutes and I go to the bathroom and you naked. Now, had I been a thought, okay, things would have been different. But, you know, I, like, you know, I'm thinking, like, I'm, like, you know, being courted. I was trying to keep it cute, but, like, why are you naked? So, Paul, Lauren, that's probably, like, my most awkward date, but it's probably my fault. I should have just left it at T and kept it cute. But, no, I wanted to go back to the high-rise apartment and see the view. Child, what of you did I get? Okay? All right, y'all. So, that's what conclude the Purple Pants picks of this week. Let's get into advice with Bryce. Bryce, I need your advice. My boyfriend and I have been talking about getting married for a year now. He was finishing his master's and graduated in May. We're both in our 30s and are stable in our lives. I keep expecting him to propose any day. He hasn't asked my ring size. We haven't gone ring shopping. What should I do? Annie. Well, Annie, hey boo. First of all, if y'all been talking about it for a year, what have y'all been talking about? Like, you just talking about, like, the type of wedding that you want. Like, and so I'm a proponent of, well, mind you, I shouldn't say proponent because I ain't never, ain't nobody never asked me to be married or nothing. But what I would say is, like, I'm just curious of, like, what type of talks have you guys been having? Just, like, how you want the day to be or how, like, and so, but I don't want to put too much pressure on you, Annie, because he could be asking your best friends. However, if this is something that you guys are talking about, then I would start to ask more specific questions. Like, you know, i.e., do you want to know the type of ring that I would like? You know, so start there. Don't be maybe so aggressive, but, like, I think that you might need to start there because sometimes you know these guys that we be dating, they, you know, drag their feet a little bit. Sometimes they're procrastinators. So I think that it's important for you to maybe like drive the conversation a little bit. Maybe you have to be, you know, aggressive. However, it's also important to pay attention to the signs that if somebody's saying they're going to do something and nothing's happening, then maybe that could be something else. But I don't believe that it's that. So maybe he just needs some help. But also I feel like, you know, being proposed to is the male's choice, or actually it doesn't necessarily have to be, but I feel like obviously it is his choice to determine when and where. But obviously you're right, girl. He gonna need to know your ring size, the type of ring that you want, because last thing you want is for him to show up with a ring pop and talk about, you know, and I know I say everybody gets a ring, but not no ring pop, girl. So I just think that when you guys are talking about it and when it comes up organically, Annie, I feel like that you need to be more specific and say, like, are you interested in knowing the type of ring that I want? Like, would you like to know the ring size? Or maybe even suggest, you know, going ring shopping. And I think that from there, you will be able to gauge if he's like all about it or kind of brushes it off. Then maybe he's not ready to get married just yet. So sometimes we have to read what people are saying, and we also have to read their actions. And so I'm putting myself in your shoes, and I definitely am like, I don't want to be too aggressive, but like, if y'all been talking about getting married for a year now, I can only assume that you've been together longer than a year. And so, you know, I just think it's important to have that conversation, you know, bring it up, little subtle hints, but don't be scared to ask for what you want. Like, you know, and I'll never forget this. My friend Jatia from Kagyan, she gave her husband a timeline. Now, I didn't necessarily agree with it at that time, but Jatia was like, listen, I'm a woman of a certain age and I have to date with a purpose. So, I mean, maybe that's something that you can do as well. Annie, like, listen, I'm looking to be engaged. I'm looking to be married. I'm trying to start my life. So maybe that's something that your boyfriend needs as well, too. So I don't know, girl. I hope that helps. Let me, you know, you already know, girl, report back because I needs to know what's popping. But fingers crossed to you. And you know, we're going to leave all of that otherness in this last decade and on this positive decade, in this new decade we taking with us. You know, we're going to own what we want, talk about what we want, and make things, you know, come to fruition. But we also need to watch people's actions, and sometimes people say stuff but they don't really do it. So you know, you need to be mindful of that as well too. But the best of luck to you, boo. Mwah. All right, freak of the week. Now listen, this freak of the week came to me. I didn't go looking for it. So y'all know season 39 Island of the Idols wrapped up, and you know, ever since then, everyone from the season can now post their photos of them hanging out during the summer doing all this fun stuff. And my girl Lauren Beck on Facebook was posting, you know, videos of the season 39ers back. I'm assuming they was in Rhode Island because they was on a boat. Might have been 4th of July weekend. But baby, this week's freak of the week is, happens to also be the season 39 winner, Tommy. Baby, there is a video of Tommy in a 4th American flag Speedo, okay? Not underwear, not swimming trunks, but a Speedo, okay? And he is shaking his moneymaker, Tommy and his mommy, okay? Y'all have to go to Lauren's Facebook page, and y'all gotta find that video, and y'all know, already know what to do, tag him up, and if you can't find it, just go to Tommy's most recent photo, and let him know that he is the freak of the week. This is going to bring this podcast, our last podcast of 2019, to an end. I cannot say enough how I am so grateful for your support, your love, all the comments that you guys give me. It really, like, you know, just lets me know that I am following my path. I did not think that this is how my year would end up. I took a lot of stumbles this year, 2019. I can say some of them I have not talked about publicly, but just know, 2019 was a very, I don't know what to say, but it was definitely something of a year for me. However, through my trials and tribulations, I kept my head up high. Y'all didn't see me sweat. I knew that things would work out for me. And, you know, I just kept my head up high. There was times that I wanted to cry. There were times that I was unsure about how I was going to get through the next day. And I've never really shared that with you guys. And I'm not even in a place to really share what my 2019 was like, but it definitely was full of trials and tribulations. But I am so proud of myself because I could have let the situation that I went through in 2019 really take me down. But I chose to say, you know what? Everything happens for a reason. And when one door closes, another door opens. And so another door opened and I walked right through it. And so I just love this podcast because it is my outlet to vent. It's my outlet to talk to you guys. And, you know, to receive the love and the feedback, it just means so much to me. So again, I just say that 2019 was a trying year for me. However, although it has some lows, it has some amazing highs. I've had amazing friends. I've got an amazing support system. And I have you guys, most importantly. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to wish you a happy and healthy 2020. We are leaving all of that oldness behind us. And we are marching into 2020. I'm not cha-cha. Y'all don't be wet the whistle. But truly, thank you so much for the support. It really means the most to me. I can't say it enough. I don't want to sound cheesy, but I literally get emotional talking about this platform that I have. And, you know, it's only continuing to grow. And I just love it. And I just wish everyone a happy new year. And you already know, it's a.
It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.